Keeping hope alive. Can you see it? There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Depending on where you're coming from, you can find that hard to believe. If so, your reaction is understandable. We've set ourselves a lofty goal of not just keeping our kids alive, but helping them thrive in every way. Yet the obstacles are formidable, and there are many challenges lurking by the wayside. To make matters worse, the cultural climate is against us. It's easy to see how somebody might reach the end of this journey feeling unnerved or pessimistic. Where do you stand as our study draws to a close and we prepare to confront the threat of teen suicide out in the real world? Is your family in a good, safe place? Or do you have some doubts about what the future might hold? Whatever your situation, we want to leave you with a single thought. Hope is real, and hope never dies. That's true no matter who you are or where you've been. It's likely you've arrived at this final chapter in one of four distinct states of mind: reassured, troubled, alarmed, or grieving. These four mindsets run the emotional gamut from positive to negative, but not one of them is incompatible with hope in the true sense of the word. Everything depends on your response. Let's take a closer look. Reassured. Let's say you've followed the curriculum from beginning to end and come away with a feeling that all is well. That's great! It doesn't mean that you and your teens don't have issues, of course. There are rough spots in every parent-child relationship, and even the healthiest and most well-adjusted adolescents can have problems with hormones, homework, romantic breakups, and academic disappointments. But if you've built the right kind of relationships over the years, chances are your kids will make it through without any serious difficulties. For the time being, your role is to thank God for His blessings, continue moving forward in the same direction, keep the lines of communication open, and continue to bring your needs and concerns to the Lord in prayer. It's important to trust God in the good times as well as in the bad. Troubled. Perhaps this study has rocked your boat. Maybe you started out thinking that everything was okay, only to discover some disturbing flaws in the fabric of your family life. Perhaps you're even feeling that you've made some serious mistakes. What then? In that case, there's only one thing you can do. Embrace your imperfections. Talk about them with the rest of the family. Request forgiveness where appropriate, and take steps to right any wrongs that aren't past fixing. After that, get on with life. Don't obsess over things that can't be changed. If you're tempted to dwell on the bad stuff, make a conscious choice to redirect your attention to things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Philippians 4:8. Start moving in a positive direction, and your kids will follow suit. This is a good time to seek the assistance of a licensed Christian counselor to help you and your family through the troubling issues. Alarmed. A third group of listeners may get to this point in a state of full-blown panic. They've seen the signs of a suicidal mentality in their child's behavior and are convinced something needs to be done before it's too late. They may even be dealing with the aftermath of a suicide attempt. If that's your situation, review the previous chapter, Responding to a Suicide Crisis, and implement the strategies outlined there. Then take steps to assemble a strong support system, including a licensed Christian therapist. Above all, remind yourself that this is not your fault. God, who stood by and watched His beloved children make a serious mistake in the Garden of Eden, knows what it's like to be in your shoes. Ask God to teach you how to respond with patience, love, and understanding. Distinguish between the things you can and can't do to improve the situation. After that, move ahead one step at a time, holding tightly to the Lord's hand. Grieving. There's a fourth possibility. You may be the mom or dad whose child has actually gone to the extreme of taking his own life. If so, Resist the temptation to blame yourself. It wasn't God's fault when Adam and Eve took the serpent's bait and ate the forbidden fruit. Don't add to the severity of your grief by assuming responsibility for things beyond your control. Instead, make an intentional effort to ground yourself in the reality of the Lord's unchanging love and grace. Talk to a friend, a pastor, or professional counselor about the situation. Allow yourself to grieve. Grief, when handled properly, can be a positive and healing process. At some point, you will begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Until then, hold on to hope. Discerning the difference between can and can't. We're imperfect people living in a fallen and distorted world. As parents, we can't expect to raise our children without ever making a mistake. When things get messy, it's important to remember that God is sovereign and active, and that He's still in the mix. Once you've put the situation in God's hands, it's important to remember that you're only human, and that you can only do so much to fix the problems and right the wrongs. Here's a chart that can help you tell the difference between the things you can and can't do. I can focus on my own actions and behaviors, exercise self-control over my own words, thoughts, and feelings, fulfill my own responsibilities, influence the situation for good, realizing that I'm just one of many factors, and manage my own emotional responses. I can't control the action of others, control the words and thoughts of others, demand my rights, manage the situation to suit myself, or control the emotional responses of others. If you are in crisis, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK 8255, or contact the Crisis Text Line by texting TALK to 741-741.